Good morning, everyone. Session met yesterday, a Saturday, at 10 a.m. And we shared fellowship thanks to Wes Libby, who made and flipped yummy, yummy pancakes, and Susan McDonald and me, who provided fruit, quiche, ham, and cheese. After breakfast, Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer. Session continues to look for a property chair. If this is of interest to you, or if you know anyone who perhaps has special gifts to fill this role, please see me. In fundraising news, the BOGO for new chairs continues until Easter. As well, Barb Mason is looking into a spring paint night. More details on that to come. Susan McDonald reported that Laring Construction is returning. They're working on the Arts Center again, and they will be renting our space for their offices again, which is a financial benefit to us. Last but not least, Michelle Alexis reported that the Rennie Memorial Committee continues their planning for a fundraiser that will possibly happen in April. Michelle also reported that a candidate has been secured for the McGaughey Organ Concert. Henry Webb is working on a master's degree at McGill University. Stay tuned for more details about that. Reverend Adams reported that we will have an anniversary service on May 26th, and our guest preacher will be the Reverend Jonathan Dent. You may be aware that Domino's drivers, customers, and employees have been using St. John's as their parking area. This is posing difficulties for us and for businesses in our neighborhood. We have spoken to them about the problem, but it has not resulted in a solution. Therefore, as of April 1st, we will be asking the police to begin issuing tickets to any vehicle using the west parking area for anything other than church business. So this is the important part. If you use that lane for parking for church business, you must have a parking sign on your dashboard to avoid getting a ticket. So if you come to the church and you park on the west side, the Domino's side, please make sure to come into the church office and get a sign to put on your dash, which will ensure the police will not ticket you. Further actions will be taken if this does not alleviate the problem. Session approved the possible use of the sanctuary for a concert on May 25th, 2024. Reverend Adams reported that he will serve as a commissioner to the General Assembly and will be at the General Assembly from June 2nd to the 5th. Mariah Adams is also attending, representing Presbytery as a young adult representative. Reverend Adams will be undergoing dental surgery on Friday, March 15th, and in his absence that Sunday, Reverend Colleen Adams will be in our pulpit. On Maundy Thursday, we will have communion using the intinction method, which is when worshipers gather around the communion table and dip a piece of bread into a common cup. Individual cups will be available for those not wanting to partake in that manner. We spent some time discussing chapter 4 of our book study, and the book is called I Am a Church Member. If you are interested in reading this book, it is available in the library. Thank you.
There we go. Thank you. And good morning. And welcome to our service of worship this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of our Lord and offer our God praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done, even on a dreary and dull morning like this morning. We especially welcome those who are joining us via live stream or who will join us at some time in the future. We're pleased that they have chosen to partake in the service of worship. Just a couple of other announcements to bring to your attention in addition to what has been shared already coming out of the session report. You will have noted in the slideshow, we are again this year looking for receiving memorial donations for Easter lilies that will be placed in the sanctuary for Easter Sunday, and there is an insert in your bulletin with all the information for you to fill out that is required to make that possible. So we would draw that to your attention. Special music during Holy Week. There were a couple of slides. We're looking again to kind of do a little bit of pickup choir to augment the faithful few that join us each week for worship at the front of the church. And so if you have the gift of singing, or you've, as I always say, if you've always thought, I might like to sing in a choir, but I don't want to make that commitment every week, well, make it for just a couple of weeks move through the season of Holy Week. Next week, we will start with practices following worship. We will have a family choir on Palm Sunday, and then we will do. It's church family, so anyone is welcome to be part of that. An augmented choir, hopefully, for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So, if you'd like more information on that, you can speak with myself sometime during the coming week. And we're pleased once more to welcome Bill Brown to the organ bench this morning. Good morning, Bill. We're grateful for Bill's generosity in sharing the gift of music and praise with us this morning. And as we come into God's presence, we light the Christ candle as a visible reminder to us that Christ is our light and that we as his people seek to walk in that light. Call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. We enter into worship together, reflections of the glory of God.
Inspired by God's presence, we gather to join in praise.
In joy, we lift our voices.
With adoration, we express our gratitude.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, we give you thanks for your steadfast love. Your wonderful works are all around us, manifest in the diversity of creation, healing those who are suffering, saving those who are in distress. In response to all that you have done, we come this day from east and west, from north and south, to tell of your deeds with songs of joy. Amen. And we come this morning singing to God's praise, our opening hymn number 290 in the Book of Praise, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. The words to the hymn will appear before you on the screen.
Invisible, God only wise, in light, in access.
Friends, as we come in confession, we acknowledge that this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that people have loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let us then come uncovering our sin before the liberating light of Christ as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before us on the screen. By the gift of your grace, we are saved, O God, from all that separates us from you. Still, we would rather believe that we can earn your love. Still, we would rather believe that we are in ultimate control. Forgive us when we do not recognize the radical gift of your grace. Have mercy when we failed or refused to share that grace with another. Forgive us, O God, and wash us in your mercy. Forgive us, O God, and free us to try again. Amen. Friends, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. And once more, let us turn in praise as we sing hymn 648 in the Book of Praise. I'm going to live so God can use me. Number 648 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. I think I've got any young people this morning, but I'll tell you the story anyway. They may be out there watching us. I think I've shared this with you already. But during the Christmas season, my favorite movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Well, it's one of them. I try to make sure I see it at least once a year. You know, it's you know, one of those traditions. That, Home Alone, and Alistair Sim as Scrooge. Those are my three Christmas musts. And inside that movie, there's a scene where Clark Griswold gets stuck in his attic. number of things happen while he's in the attic. But one of the things that happens while he's in the attic is he finds all of the Christmas gifts and birthday presents that he's bought for members of his family throughout the year and thought it was a wonderful idea to hide them in the attic. And then he promptly forgot that they were there. And so he's pulling out all of these wrapped boxes that with all of these festive greetings for members of his family. Gifts aren't very good if they don't get given, are they? And gifts aren't very good if they're not received. Clark Griswold's gifts were missed opportunities for Clark to express how much he cherished and loved his family because they were never given. As we come this morning in worship, listening to God's word as it is given to us in Scripture, we're going to hear from John chapter 3 this morning, and that great verse that many of us who are older memorized 1,000 years ago when we were in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have the gift of everlasting life. Just like that scene in the movie, we have been given this gift, this wonderful gift of eternal life, life in the presence of God, if we will only accept it and unwrap it and unbox it and then wear it all year long. So as we come this morning listening for God's word to us again this day, let us be mindful of the fact that each week, each day, we receive a gift from God and that it is ours to cherish the gift and to enjoy it. Let us bow our heads in prayer as we prepare for the reading of Scripture. Gracious God, our way in the wilderness. Guide us by your word through these 40 days and minister to us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be reformed, restored, and renewed through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
The first reading from Numbers 21, verses 4 to 9. From Mount Hor they sent out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The psalm reading this morning, Psalm 107, 1 to 3 and 17 to 22, read responsively. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble.
And gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities endured affliction.
They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress.
He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with song and joy. and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
Once more, let us join our voices in praise as we sing hymn 350. To God be the glory, great things he has done. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we will sing the refrain following the third verse only. So we will sing the verses straight through with the refrain only at the end of the hymn. Number 350, to God be the glory. And our final reading for this morning, the Gospel, taken from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus when he said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's good to be back with you after a week in Winnipeg, and I'm pleased to let you to report that spring is coming on the prairies. Now, many people over the past week have said, so what was the weather like when you were in Winnipeg? And I'm pleased to report that while we were in Winnipeg, the temperatures were a balmy minus 12, and the sky was blue and sunny on most of the days that we were there. For some, that might not be the recipe for spring, but in the prairies, you know it's getting close when you start getting up in those sorts of temperatures, and it was indeed beautiful to be in the sunshine. Now, thinking about the readings that we've just heard this morning, I was reminded of a particular event that does indeed happen each spring on the prairies, somewhere around the end of April. In a small rural Manitoba community, snake balls. Yes, you heard me right. Snake balls. In late April, just outside of the small community of Narcisse, Manitoba, some 70,000 red-sided garter snakes emerged from their dens in a tumbling, slithering mass. All at once, there is this tidal wave of snakes. Now, this natural occurrence is world famous. It has been written about in periodicals like the Canadian Geographic magazine. It's even made its way into the New York Times. It's a tourist attraction, believe it or not, to come and see the emergence of life on the prairies for another year. I've never been there. I don't plan on going. Let me reiterate, I've never been there. One of the things that I have inherited from my father is a dislike of snakes. They give me the willies. You know, the willies, where kind of every fiber of your being shifts to one side of your body and goes all at once, the willies. Of all of the creatures on earth, I suspect that reptiles and snakes in particular are the least liked of all of God's creation. It feels like some sort of primordial fear grips us when we see them. Sometimes I can't even watch them on TV. It's a fear that extends as far back as time itself, it seems. And perhaps it is. You see, as people of faith, we know that it was a serpent that dwelt at the center of the garden. It was the serpent that hissed in Eve's ear, "Eat. This will not hurt you." It was the serpent that spawned sin to come into the world and to separate us from God's love and God's purpose for us. In our readings this morning, there are snakes. I hate snakes. And this primordial fear that comes along with them, the fear of being separated from God. We are not far along in the journey of the children of God from Egypt to promised land, as it's recorded in the book of Numbers, when we arrive at this reading that we heard earlier this morning. The children of God are already beginning to murmur against God. "Why have you brought us out here into the desert? There's no food here. There's no fun in the desert." Already they are beginning to doubt that God has a plan and that God is faithful and will see them through. They are beginning to doubt God's steadfast love. And as they lose their grasp on God, like some toddler whose hand has slipped from his parents, they begin to realize all of the perils of life that are around them. There are dangers out there. And there are snakes. Numbers records for us that the desert all of a sudden becomes as if it was filled with snakes, and they bit the Israelites and some died. But Moses turns to God, and Moses asks for protection, and God instructs Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it upon a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look upon it and live." And they did. Their trust in God was restored by that symbol, and once more they could move safely through the wilderness. In our gospel lesson, Jesus draws upon that image as he speaks to Nicodemus about his life-giving mission into the world. Jesus says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." As Jesus teaches Nicodemus, this teacher and leader of the Jewish people who has come to him by night to hear what Jesus has to say, as Jesus teaches him about the saving nature of his presence on earth, Jesus replaces the serpent upon the post with his own very self upon the cross. The saving love of God is manifest in Jesus giving up himself upon the cross for our sins. Like Nicodemus, sometimes we do not fully comprehend the truth of the gospel until it has been fulfilled. Sometimes the significance of words and phrases are not really apparent to us unless we're able to look back upon the gospel narrative from the end to the beginning. And such is the case with these words this morning. The author of John's gospel uses that phrase that the Son of Man must be lifted up three times throughout the gospel. And each and every time, it is a reference to Jesus' crucifixion upon the cross. That Jesus is lifted high upon the pole, that we might look upon him and have new life. It is not an accidental image, but rather it's one that points to a fuller understanding of the breadth and the depth of God's love. And indeed, God would send his only Son into the world to save us from our sin. In God's steadfast love, there is healing. In God's steadfast love, there is hope. In God's steadfast love, there is life. All of it made available to us if we will only place our trust in God. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We as people of faith have received this wonderful gift from God. Freedom. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from fear, if we will but look toward Jesus and his perfect gift upon the cross. It is as Paul said in the reading that we heard from Ephesians. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is not our own doing. It is the gift of God, so that nobody should boast. So that no one should boast about the salvation that they have earned for themselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. But we don't have to. Because the great mystery is that God has done it already in Jesus. That as God lifted up Jesus upon the pole, that he put to death our sin and all of those things that would separate ourselves from him. That all of our sin and all of our trespasses and all of our offenses, all the way back to the Garden of Eden and that hissing snake, all of it is wiped clean. For us, all that we do is to respond to this wonderful gift, to say thanks and to live in the joy and the freedom that God has given to us. So as we move our way through this desert time of 40 days, this season of Lent once more, and draw nearer and nearer to the end and closer to the cross, let us remember that we have been blessed by God with the greatest gift of all, God's steadfast love. A love which lifts us out of our despair and out of all of the pain and the worry of this world and gives us new life if we simply place our trust in him. Thanks be to God for this wonderful gift. Amen. People of God, let us offer our sacrifice of thanksgiving, telling of God's deeds with songs of joy. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for your wonderful works among mankind. Accept this offering with the dedication of our lives and help us be for the world an emblem of your steadfast love. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O God of light and life, through the ages your messengers have proclaimed that your day is at hand. Creation has spoken of your care and benevolent love. And in the fullness of time, you sent Christ into the midst of humanity, so that there could be no denying your concern for our well-being. You are God, who restores that which your people destroy. You mend brokenness and bring wholeness in the midst of fractured relationships. You make wars to cease and establish peace among the nations. We hear your word for our time and give thanks for your unending pursuit of righteousness. Send forth your light so that all may inherit your eternal life. God of new possibilities, we pray that you will reform those who disregard how creation depends upon your grace. Give to them a sense of how all things work together for your purposes. You have instilled in us such awesome power. Grant us also the humility to acknowledge your gift and to exercise it humanely. Make us aware of how fragile life is and that any one part cannot be abused without affecting the whole. Help us to work toward a rightly ordered creation, whatever our role or status. Reconciling God, we pray for those whose relationships are in disarray. Keep us from premature or harmful judgments that only enhance the pain. Help us to offer reconciling suggestions when they can be helpful, and to make our presence beneficial in overcoming the incipient loneliness. You have taught us what it means to love one another. You have shown us how interdependent all creation ought to be. Keep us mindful of the mutual support that we can offer one another, and make us willing to bear one another's burdens as though it were our own. Let us thereby shed light on what it means to love one another as you have loved the world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 352 in the Book of Praise. And Can It Be That I Should Gain? Number 352. Beloved in the Lord, we have received the immeasurable riches of God's grace in kindness toward us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us then go forth to share the gift with others. And may the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the light of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.